never in my life, if you would have told me that I'd have 22 years clean and I would be in recovery and I'd be doing a podcast with somebody I saw walk in, I would say you're fucking bugging. You know, I mean, this is not where I was, where I thought my life would be. I was gonna die on the streets of Miami, man. I know that for a fact.
Welcome to the Hell Has an Exit podcast with host Teddy Tarantino. New episodes every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Don't forget to subscribe.
All right, hey, welcome to Hell Has an Exit. I'm your host, Brian Alzate, and today I have Max with me. Just want to do a quick shout out. If you guys enjoy the podcast, please like and subscribe. Copy and paste the link. Send it to your friends. If you know people who are struggling, the more you share this podcast, the more people we can help. This is a podcast dedicated to people who have changed their lives and found a way out of hell. So today I have Mad Max. People still call you Mad Max?
No.
No? That's so funny. Because you've been in my phone as Max, Mad Max. And when people are like, oh yeah, Max, da da da, I'm like, Mad Max? They're like, what?
Yeah, no. They usually call me now Biker Max.
Biker Max? You're Biker Max?
Or Max with the Harley. You know, and those are some of the gifts I've been awarded since, you know.
Yeah, you change your name.
Yeah, you get to change a lot of things, man. Yeah. You know
what I'm saying? It's crazy. We were talking. So you're coming up on 23 years clean?
That is correct.
Wow. So when I got clean, you had 7 years.
Right.
Which is crazy to think about. But yeah, I remember when I got a, because we both celebrated March. Mm-hmm. So I remember when I got a medallion, I brought like my childhood friend's dad to come hear me get a medallion. And I remember you got up and you talked about like the penitentiary and all this stuff. And I got up there probably talking like, you know, about some bullshit. And I remember my friend's dad was like, wow, it's so cool to see like two different walks of life go up there and celebrate. And yeah, like you're one of the people, you know, there's a lot of people who have seen me, but not that are still around. But you've seen me since day one of getting clean.
That is correct.
You know, so.
So like for me, it's, you know, I grew up in a good, I mean, I'm from Miami. Mm-hmm. You know, I was actually born in Cuba. I got here when I was 18 months old.
Wow.
A lot of people don't know that about
me. Yeah, I didn't know that.
I came here when the what they call the Liberty flights, you know, and it was me and my two brothers and my mom, my dad, and my grandmother. And, you know, my dad was, I always looked for attention from my dad, you know, like through the years I had, you know, I got six brothers now and I had two sisters, one passed away in 2011. And, you know, I've always looking for approval. I was always not the class clown, but I would do stuff to make people notice. You know, I always wanted to be noticed, you know what I'm saying? As far as, by the time I was five or six, I just, you know, everything changed. I don't know what happened. I was addicted to spinning. You know, I would spin and then I would get dizzy and hit the concrete
and I
laugh to myself and, you know, get back up and do it again. Mm-hmm. That's not normal. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, so life progressed and, we were living in Miami and, you know, the '70s and eighties. And my dad was, a lot of my brothers won't know this, but if they see this podcast, they're going to learn today. My dad was a smuggler, man.
Mm. Your own brothers don't know that? Wow, that's crazy.
You know, because I got, my mom and dad got divorced when I was 11 and I went to live with my father. And that's how I learned how to, I started using at the age of 11, put it that way. Hmm. And it was hard drugs. It was cocaine, you know, cause it
was he given to you or you stole it from him?
No, it was laying around everywhere.
Really? Like
yeah,
that?
I knew where his hit spots were. Mm-hmm. And when I'm talking about, you know, like when I speak somewhere and you know, I don't say the exact, you know, the exact drug or anything because, you know, but at the podcast, I can say, but,
yeah, of course,
you know, he would transport like a lot of stuff, you know what I'm saying? And U-Haul trucks full of furniture and, you know, I mean, he's dead now, so they can't do nothing to him anyway. So, you know, and I got into the game with my father. You know, and stuff progressed.
When did you start working with him?
At a very young age. I mean, by 14, I was already incarcerated.
Really? Did he know that you were doing the drugs?
Yeah, he already knew.
Wow.
You know, if I stay up for 3 days, he said, bro, you haven't slept yet?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, I can't sleep. He goes, you know, he says, bullshit. Mm-hmm. You've been stealing my shit. And he's been, you know, he'll whoop my ass or something. You know what I'm saying? My dad was a very strong person. He was a big dude. He was, he lived in the mountains in Cuba and fought against, you know, Castro and them. And we had to escape, you know, so when the flights came, we left.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was a really, you know, he had bullet wounds all in his legs. And, you know, he lived out there in the jungle for 10 years.
Mm.
So he was a real quiet dude, but he would beat me with extension cords and, you know, and I would turn around and I still love my dad no matter what mm-hmm. he did to me. It was kind of crazy. You know, I was always looking for approval. You know, I never had that dad that came home and played baseball with me in the front yard or stuff like that. I never had none of that. And I never had, like, the only recollection I know that I had of my dad, like, when he used to get pissed was, I took off, he brought me a brand new bike. He took off, I took off for like 7 hours. And the cops were looking for me and everything. When I got back, he slammed the bike on the ground and broke it in half. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I didn't have that lovey-dovey thing that you see nowadays. You know what I'm saying? He didn't come from... Today, I understand that he didn't come from that either.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, that's really the only saving grace that we have is, like, you know, I read in a book where, like, someone can't teach you what they weren't taught.
Right.
And it's only through empathy that you could get over that.
That's right. And I broke that chain with my son. My son, Chris, lives in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 24, you know, and he's a good kid, no malice, graduated high school. You know, I got a high school diploma and, you know, when I was doing a 15-year bid in a penitentiary, man, you know what I'm saying, for armed mm-hmm. robbery, you know, and, you know, by the time I was 14, I was already in Florida School for Boys in Okeechobee, just mm-hmm. finding means and ways, you know.
What was that like? Because I know that back then it was probably crazy.
It was crazy. It was shot out, bro. You know, it just made me a better, thief.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I just, you know, you get taught a lot at that age. You know what I'm saying? And plus, there was a lot of other, you know, Cubans from Miami that were mm-hmm. there. So, you know, we hung out in a clique. You know, it was people from, you know, from down, you know, like Pitbull calls it the 305, but mm-hmm. before that we used to call it the bottom.
Mm.
That's where I was from, and I got it tattooed on my arms.
Oh wow.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, because I'm originally from the bottom, from Miami. I lived all the way from Homestead to Cutler Ridge to Kendall to Westchester, mm-hmm. and then towards the end when I got clean in recovery, I was taking care of my parents, and they lived in Carroll City. So, like, they call it Miami Gardens now to make it sound a little bit better. So, like, you know, I went to jails, you know, I was in jails and institutions, man, for till I was 18. I went from 14 to 18, got out. By the time I'm 21, I was, you know, I was already doing 15 years on an armed robbery. And you know, the click again, you know what I'm saying? And I remember getting shanked in my back, you know, and I still got the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and they put him in the box, but when he got out, I took care of that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They put me in the hole for 180 days, man, 6 months, bro. And then they transferred me.
What was what's like the hole like?
You take a shower, 3 times a week,
mm-hmm.
you're in your boxer drawers. So all you can do is either whack off or do push-ups. You know what I'm saying? Right. That's it, bro.
Did they have AC at the prison you're at?
Yeah, they did. Okay. Yeah. And the, you know, I mean, but during the day they put you on the compound, but I was in the box and they transferred me to another institution. We're talking about the 80s, you know, a lot of people got out doing, you know, CRD, which was controlled release or whatever, mm-hmm. that if they stayed good for 60 days, they would. You know, I was under something in the 80s called the wall drip system, which you did day by day.
Mm.
So, in 94, I got out, and immediately when I got out, I went and cop, man.
You didn't
after doing 10 years straight, wow. I'm 50. It didn't matter. They give you $100, mm-hmm. and they give you a bus ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And and they send you on your way.
So you did 10 years at what age?
Sorry, I was 21.
Oh, wow. So 21 to 31, you're in locked up.
Yeah. I mean, if you know my clean date, I got clean at 37. So with 23 years clean, you know, do the math. You know what I'm saying? Prior to that, it was all jails and institutions. You know, the seed was planted for me in, you know, recovery base was when the Department of Corrections, I was facing 22 years again in 96. I got out, I did 84 to 94, 96. I got busted for what did I get? I got busted for like they trying to say that I was trying to distribute sales and distribution. I was running around South Beach in an SS Impala that belonged to some guy that was using, because at that time I was what you considered a functioning addict. You know what I'm saying? I had money and, I went and I, you know, copped and, you know, sold. And this time it was like the crack epidemic, you know what I'm saying? So I had his brand new Impala drag racing on South Beach, and then the police stopped me and they found a cookie and a half of crack, you know? And so here we go again, my point system, you know, I got a C letter, which means, you know, you've been to prison four times. So, not that I have, I caught charges in there while I was in there. So like,
Wow. So when you catch charges, they add letters.
Yeah. When you get a number, when you first go, I don't know about any other place, but in Florida, when you go up the road, you get a number. When you come back, you get an A, then a B, then a C, then a D. And I know people with G's.
It's crazy.
It is. I mean, if it wasn't for a 12-step fellowship that I am in today, I wouldn't be here, man. So going back to the facing the 22 years mandatory that they were, because I was a career criminal. I was a code 28 known to carry firearms. You know what I mean? Every time the cops would stop me, they would go, "Hey, Fernandez, you know, hey, you know, Max, you got any weapons on you?" And I'd probably have a 9mm under the battery. You know what I'm saying? In the hood of the car. But they'd search the car and not find anything. But so, like, you know, it was always, I lived a lifestyle that I didn't really care. I thought my life would be using drugs and dying on the streets of Miami. You know? So facing the 22 years, I met a bail bondsman that became my wife.
What?
My first wife.
When was this?
96. I had got out again on a $7,500 bond. I had two girls that I knew. They racked up $750 and came and bonded me out. You know, it's 10%. And then I met my son's mom. It's funny because, you know, you ever see I ain't gonna say it. You ever see the person, that commercial where they're running towards each other on the beach? I should just kept going.
She should have kept going.
I should have just. Both of us should have just kept going.
Just kept going.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, because it was a volatile relationship, and she wasn't an addict. You know, and but we're good today. We're friends. You know, there was a crazy relationship because I was still getting high. You know, by this time it wasn't cocaine or crack or anything. It was Oxycontins. I was introduced to that.
I didn't know you even had a pill problem. I thought it was just cocaine.
Man, I was chewing 15 40s a day, man, towards the end. Because, like, I have a business and I had to keep going. And it didn't make me down and not out. It made me work constantly. Yeah, and a lot of people don't know that. Because I always share, you know, when I do share.
Yeah, you don't share. So we were talking before, is like, I've known you since I've been clean almost 16 years. And, you know, when you share, you don't really share a lot about your story. And, like, you don't share a lot about the drug use. And,
you know, this is a pretty good way of people knowing what's really going on.
Yeah, exactly.
What really happened to Max. So we got together, you know, she wasn't an addict, and, you know, every 9 months I would go use, and we were living in Westchester, Miami, you know what I'm saying? So she figured that, you know, if I only did that like every 9 months or every 6 months, it was okay, you know, and it wasn't, you know what I'm saying? So, like, You know, I had to do something. You know, what I did was one night I was in a motel room on the beach. I had money, I had drugs, and I was just sick and tired of being sick and tired, man. I was facing this, you know, I was facing this, this thing, and, you know, and somehow she got connected with some lawyers that owe her a favor, man. And they put me like in a 1-year advocate program. I lucked out. See, the seed was planted way before I even knew about the 12-step fellowship. You know what I'm saying? I just didn't know that. I come to know it today through doing some work, you know? So like I did what I had to do for me. You know, I went to a halfway house. I didn't get clean in treatment. I didn't have money for all that. You know, I didn't go to a meeting and raise my hand and say, "Hey, this is me," you know. No, bro, I still had drugs on me. I still had money on me. I met somebody at a meeting, and he told me, pull everything out of your pockets and throw it on the ground. And he proceeded to crush everything I had.
Really?
Everything.
Who was this person? How did you know him?
Through my guy, Frankie, who's no longer with us. You know, I'm in the fence business. So, like, you know, it's what I do for a living. I've been doing that since 96.
Not Frankie Bones, right?
No, okay. Frankie, we were using buddies. And we worked and, you know, we made money and, you know, and he got clean for a minute and I was still using. And he told me, bro, come on, man, you know, and I met this guy and he had a halfway house in Hollywood, you know, and he crushed it. And I went and picked up a key tag and from that day on, you know, it was March 12th, 2001.
And since then,
I consider my clean date March 13th, 2001, because I actually woke up that day.
Wow.
You know, I didn't have to come to, you know what I mean? Like plenty of other times. And and the rest is history, man. I got a sponsor, you know, and he's been with me almost 23
Same
years.
Same guy? That's crazy. That's
you
cool.
know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I did I do everything right when I got here? No, man. I came here with, you know, with anger issues, man. You know, I came in here with an incarcerated mentality. You know what I'm saying? You know, I still sometimes forget and I put on my shower slides to get in the shower.
Really?
At my own home.
Mm-hmm.
That's the effect that it left on me,
mm-hmm.
because it was a way of life for me. You know what I'm saying? I've done a lot of bad stuff in prison, man, to a lot of people, you know, that they'll probably never get out,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I didn't care because I didn't care about myself when I was on the streets of Miami. Boy, I'm going to care about anybody when I'm in there. I learned how to have, how to care about another person today. You know, I don't come from that. You know, I learned everything through this 12-step fellowship that I've been in. I've learned how to balance a checkbook, you know, not think when somebody says something to me out of love that it's, you know, like in the beginning, I used to like want to fight some, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Want to slam somebody on their haircut, man. You know what I'm saying? And then I understood that they were trying to help me. So I had this up here is very dangerous, man. You know, and I had to get somebody to help me with that.
Did you believe the program worked?
I started believing it when I had 6 months clean. You know what it is to wake up and not having to get something mm-hmm. to feel okay. Yeah. That was my spiritual awakening,
mm-hmm.
put it that way. You know, that something was working, that it's more, that's greater than myself. You know what I'm saying? A person greater than myself used to be the police,
mm-hmm.
Miami police, the judge, you know, and the prison guards. You know what I'm saying? So that was a power greater than myself. But today, it's, you know, power greater than myself. I have a relationship. I am beginning another relationship with a God of my understanding. You know what I'm saying? I really didn't believe in God. You know, I come from a family that, you know, they were into Santeria. You know what I'm saying? And I grew up in that religion, and it was done to me when I was 12 years old. You know, I don't. That's another thing you don't know about. Mm. I don't speak about stuff like that. You know, like, I don't talk about, you know, having women working on the streets that were getting high. You know, because I come from that lifestyle. Like, down and dirty, you know what I'm saying? In the streets of Miami. You know, because what today, I have respect for women. I have integrity. When I'm in a relationship with somebody, and when I am not with that person, I don't have to automatically get with someone again to forget another person. Mm-hmm. I can go through that feeling, and these are all new things that I've learned, man. Trust me, it took me 8 years to do, you know, 12 steps. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm not well, and I don't want to be well, because the minute I think I've arrived in this 12-step fellowship that I'm in, I'm going to look for the exit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to keep it real simple, man. I don't want to be... I have calmed down a lot, trust me. People see me in the program and say, Max, you have changed, man, mm-hmm. so much. And I don't see it until somebody tells me. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't know, man. I've changed, man. I don't try to hurt anybody's feelings today. That might sound, you know, like when I got here, I'm like, man, you guys are turning me into a chump, bro. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't come from that, you know. But you know, I'd rather be a chump, you know, waking up in a house, you know, and having food in my refrigerator.
Yeah. Yeah.
Than being an addict.
Yeah, because it's crazy because, you know, like, I've never been to prison, but it's like in prison, you can have grown men killing each other over, you know, cookies.
Anything, bro.
Yeah.
And I used to run a canteen in there. Yeah, I used to have a canteen in Sumter Correctional. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been in the Southwest units in Rayford. I've been Marion. I was in Martin. You know what I'm saying?
What was the worst one?
I think it was the Southwest units in Rayford County, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the 80s, man. You know,
They had weights in prison then?
Yeah, that when I was there, they always had weight, and there was cash in the compound.
Really?
Yeah, now they have like your picture with a credit card. Mm-hmm. That's, from what I understand, you know, there was money hand over fist, and people, you know, were selling in there, and they were, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
People were getting high, and, you know, I used to get high in Dade County Jail, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I used to smoke crack in Dade County Jail, bro.
That's crazy.
You know? Back then, they had the plexiglass where you had the visitation.
Mm-hmm.
They had little holes in them.
And people would slide a stem through?
No, they would slide a straw full of crack
through it. Wow.
So, don't get it twisted, man. Mm-hmm. You know, an addict can
find
the means and ways to get mm-hmm. more. You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy.
And or in prison, you get somebody, one of the girls in there, one mm-hmm. of the boys in there, you know what I'm saying? The keister, you know, something in the visitation area, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, you go out there and you can sell weed and you can sell, you know what I'm saying? So, like, it was real easy back then. I don't know about now. I heard now that you can't even smoke in prison anymore. And they took all the weights and all that. So, like,
yeah.
I've been to, like, 7 different institutions in the time I was always fighting, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That was my thing, bro. You know, and...
What was your relationship like with your dad later on?
When I got clean, I made an amends to him, you know, because it wasn't about him anymore. It was about me, you know? And I made an amends to him, and, you know, I told him I'm sorry I was never around, that I was always locked up. And, you know, and the funny thing, bro, he told me, man, I've always loved you, because... He never showed me love, my dad was, he got indicted in the 90s for $45 million in racketeering when Medicare fraud and all that came. Remember all that stuff mm-hmm. that was happening? Yeah, he was one of the big guys there. And they took everything he had, you know, and he was left with nothing, you know, and... I used to come, he had a little, they left him with a trailer, put it this way, towards the end before he passed away. But I had 9 good years with my father, like laughing, and he got to meet my son Chris, and you know, and then one day my other sister found him in the room, and he, you know, he was not doing too well, and they took him to the hospital, and 3 days later he passed away. You know, I was blessed to take care of my parents, my mom and my stepdad, for 8 years. That's when I was living in Carroll City. And I had 16 good years with my mom out of my whole life. You know, my mom one day told me before she passed away that, you know, I never thought that it would be you taking care of me when I have all these other sons that could take care of me. But you have to understand, all my brothers are military. They're ex-army, you know, like from the 80s, you know. I got sergeant majors in the family, lieutenants. Even my niece and all them were like lieutenants in the army, man.
Wow.
I come from a military background, like, but, you know, I was more militant, you know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, I didn't believe in all that, you know what I'm saying? I was too busy getting high, you know, because, you know, just it's the way the world is, man, you know? I don't blame anybody for anything that happened to me. I don't hold judgment on anything that's gone on in my life. I just know that I'm a recovering addict with almost 23 years clean. And I just keep coming back. I just, you know, I don't pick up no matter what, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, I got bullet holes in me. I got, you know, I've been, stabbed, shanked, burned, kidnapped. You know what I'm saying?
Kidnapped?
Fuck yeah, for my dope, man.
Really?
Yeah, bro. I just the same way I would do shit, they did it to me too. Mm-hmm. I'm not exempt, bro. You know what I'm saying?
In prison or in the streets?
No, in the streets, man.
Oh, well, I was like, what?
It's going to happen in prison, bro. I was set up in prison.
Wow.
You know? There's just certain things I can't say on camera. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, and it's kind of hard for me to speak.
Yeah.
you know how I am. I've always been like low key unless some shit pop off. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But, you know.
Was it dealing with your anger when you got clean? Like, that was probably harder to kick than drugs.
I would go to like conventions and hang out with guys that were just like me.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them are dead.
Hmm.
We would go to convention and post up like we're on the block, man. You know, 7 of us straight, you know what I'm saying? And they all decided to go use, man, and they're all dead. You know, they're not here with us anymore. And neither is Frankie that used to work for me. The one who got me into recovery.
Yeah, he's not here anymore.
He never stopped using. For 25 years, we did work together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it kept it really green for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, he would be sick, man. Oh, I can't even work, Max. And I'd slip him a 20, and I said, yo, call me tomorrow, man. You know, and, you know, and 2 hours later, he was like, hey, you, what's up, mijo? You know, I, you know what I'm saying? So, like, it kept it green for me. You know, I never gave up on him. He was, like, the only person, man, that helped me find the rooms, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I give thanks to him every day. And he didn't die of a drug overdose or anything. He got hit by 2 cars. He's probably on taking bars, you know what I'm saying? Whatever you call that shit. I don't even, Xanax.
Mm-hmm.
And he got hit by 2 cars on Oakland Park Boulevard. You know what I'm saying? Wow. And he died. So, like, he didn't die of a drug overdose. And it's kind of weird. I thought he would, you know? So, like, I don't know, man. I just, I keep coming back. You know, I don't use no matter what. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor, and you know what I'm saying? And I stay in their pockets. Mm-hmm. Like, I call my sponsor every day. It doesn't matter. It's like today I'm doing a lifetime bid in a 12-step program instead of doing a lifetime bid in prison, you know? And
yeah, when I first got clean, that sounded like so crazy to me. Like, you guys are going to go to this shit forever. Like, it sounded like pussy and like
soft.
Like you needed it, you know, like, you know, oh, if I don't have my little support group, I'm gonna use it. Just sounded weird. And it's like it made sense, but it's like, dude, forever. And like, you know, they have that Just for Today stuff, but it's like, you know, you would see people talking about like, oh yeah, well, you know, Just for Today I have 20 something years, and like, wow, you've been going here for 23 years. But like, now I really see it as like, you know, people who are religious, they don't just grow out of church. They still go to church.
They still go to church.
People who are in the gym, you don't stop going to the gym. You still go to the gym. So to me, it's like normal now. It's like
consistency.
And I've seen what happened when people leave the program. So when I first got clean, my mentality was like, well, you know, if you don't want to be here, that's fine. And you know, maybe it's not for everybody, but I really like the program. But I could tell you in, you know, 15 years I've been clean, I can probably count two people who've left the program, and after a couple of years, their life totally didn't go in shambles. Maybe two out of thousands, you know? Well,
there you go. Two out of thousands. You just said it.
It's crazy. And it's like, I don't want to be like a super 12-step hardcore thumper or whatever, but this is like my own experience. I don't really know too many people who, and maybe they don't use right away, but even if it takes a year or 2 years, their life becomes unmanageable with something eventually, because if you're an addict, you're going to use something in an abusive way that causes unmanageability.
Exactly. So it's crazy, man, how life is, man. I don't have everything I want, but I have everything I need. You know, not everything I need, or I don't know how they say it.
You have everything you need.
You need not everything that I want. And I'm okay with it, man. You know, I work every day. I get up. I pay my rent. I pay my phone. You know, those are things that, you know, we take for granted.
When did you get into the Harleys?
I was in a penitentiary, man, and I would see like commercials with the chick on the back, you know, right, you know, in the Harleys. And, you know, when I was a kid living in Homestead, man, you know what I'm saying? I used to ride YZ80s, you know, little Yamahas. And my dad got me one, and me and this guy we used to call Jag. I don't know if he's still alive, man, you know, or what, but long-haired, blue-eyed, you know, white boy, you know what I'm saying? But we had bikes, you know, and we used to go to this place called the Rock Pit down the street from the house, and it was a big, it was called Crystal Lake. Now it's full of houses, but it was just, you know what I'm saying? And we used to go in there and ride YZ80s, and I was always into bikes, you know what I'm saying? And then I saw the commercial in prison. I said, I'm going to get me one of them. Not thinking that maybe I might want to stay clean then, you know, and save some money and then get one. And then when I got into recovery, I think I had 2006. I had like 5 years clean. I was making money. I was doing my thing. I was, you know, and I said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to get one. I started off. I've had 7 Harleys since, man. I just brought one last year, you know, a brand new one. And those are the gifts of recovery.
Yeah, it's cool because there's like a whole group of you guys that ride.
Yeah, and they're all in the program.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all clean. And probably have more time than me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I mean, there was a time at you know, the 12-step house where there'd be just like...
Like 30 bikes 30 out there, bikes man. Out there. Yeah. And we all go eat afterwards. And... Or we'll wind up in Jupiter, Florida somewhere to eat lunch, you know what I'm saying? And that's how it was. And that's what kept me coming, you know, that's what kept me clean, man. A lot of it at the time. When I'm having a hard day, or when I'm stressing about, like, you know, I'm not rich, but when I'm stressing about, you know, how am I gonna pull this, you know, this permit I'm still waiting on, and the customer's calling me, and I'm like, bro, I put my phone right on my bike, I fill my tank up, and I get on the turnpike, and I wind up somewhere in northern Florida 3 hours later.
Yeah,
you know, because that's how I talk to the God of my understanding. I get on my bike and I will talk to God, man, and I would say, yo, man, what's going on, bro? You know, you got me this far. You know, I know you're not gonna let me, you know, throw me, you know, let me get into the shark infested water to let me die on the sand, you know what I'm saying? And it's all for nothing, because the next day everything winds up being okay. Yeah, but we're not used to that, you know. We want what we want now.
Yeah, and when you use in the middle of a crisis, you never learn the lesson.
Yeah,
so that's why it's like you see people 40 years old, they're so immature getting clean, because they've gone through all these life experiences, but they use when it gets tough, and they never learn, you know, about getting on the other side.
Yeah, the other side is a good side, man. Mm-hmm. You know, never in my life, if you would have told me that I'd have 22 years clean and I would be in recovery, and I'd be doing a podcast mm-hmm. with somebody I saw walking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I would say, you're fucking bugging. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this is not where I was, where I thought my life would be. I was going to die on the streets of Miami, man.
Mm-hmm.
I know that for a fact. That's why I went to Fort Lauderdale to get clean.
To get out of there.
I couldn't stay clean in Miami, bro. Mm-hmm. For nothing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere I turned. Even today, once in a while, this is with 22 years clean. I'll drive by a spot
mm-hmm.
and my stomach like starts a little bit. And then I think, you know what, bro? That's in the rearview mirror, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know, so the front windshield's
bigger than
the rearview mirror, man. So I'm not trying to look back. I did what I did, and you know, if anybody out there that I physically, verbally, or emotionally assaulted, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my amends. You know,
what was it like raising your son?
Chris, he started going to meetings with me when he was 2 years old.
Hmm.
We would go like, you know, to the Westboro Club and, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, when it was originally on hiatus. And I would say, if you stay quiet for an hour, I'd take you to Kabooms. He would look up at me and go, Kabooms, that Kaboom? Mm-hmm. And he would stay quiet for the whole meeting. My son wasn't one of those kids that were running around tearing up the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very quiet. He's like me. Very, like, quiet.
Reserved.
Reserved, man. And he's always been like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was 7 years old, he said, Dad, I don't want to go to those meetings no more. I said, all right, man. You know, and he grew up by the age of 14. He was a turnkey kid because his mom was a bail bondsman.
Mm-hmm.
She was also a skip tracer, you know, which... you're not allowed to be a bounty hunter in Florida back then. I don't know about now, but these are things that she told me, you know what I'm saying? So they had to call them skip tracers. So like, you know, she was hardly never home. He would get home, he had to make his food, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, they lived in a big old house up in, right there off of Hiatus and mm-hmm. Friday night and 75 over there in the, you know, he went to, you know, Hawks Bluff, you know, and stuff like that. He was a good kid, man. And one day he used to go to Zephyr Hills, Florida, right around like 3 miles from Zephyr Hills Correctional. And his cousins live out there. You know, he had three cousins. And he told her one day, she goes, so when are you coming back? He said, I'm not coming back, because he got tired of being alone.
Hmm.
So he grew up with her sister. You know, with her sister and her three kids and her husband. That they've been together since junior high. You know what I'm saying? And turned out to be a good kid. I sacrificed not seeing him every day so he can have a better life.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I talk to him all the time. I FaceTime him. You know, pretty soon I'm getting ready to go up and visit him in Colorado. He lives with his girlfriend that he's had since high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he works. He works. He's studying to be in the plumbers union in Colorado. He probably smokes weed, you know what I'm saying? Because you moved to Colorado, mother, you know, something going on. So, mm-hmm. like, you know, I know he definitely smokes weed.
Yeah.
But he can get up the next day and go to work.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I'm going to find, you know, an ounce somewhere and I'm going to cook it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's what I did.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't get it twisted. I know where I come from,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I keep it real, real. I'm very vigilant. You know what I'm saying? I don't hang around. The majority of people who are in my phone are in recovery,
mm-hmm.
unless they're, you know, customers. Other than that, I keep it simple, man. You know, and
what are some of the things that you learned that helped you stay clean, like your first couple of years?
First, not getting high. You know what I'm saying? That's the first thing. If you don't pick up, you don't get high. You know, I think it was Lenny that told me, you know what kept you picking up? He says, your left hand and your right hand.
So like, yeah.
You know, I said, you know, I was like, man, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it was true, you know,
because
I've always went against the grain all my life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I go against the grain in the program.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? My higher power grabs a 2x4 and hits me in the back of the head and tell me, listen, knucklehead, you know, this is what's going to happen, you know, or I'll call my sponsor with some crazy ass shit, you know. And he'll tell me, bro, go to, where are you in the steps? Right off the rip. He'll never co-sign anything. And that's what I love about him. We didn't get recovery like all loving and caring like they do now. Mm-hmm. Back then, they used to tell us, yo, sit down, shut up. If we want a cop, we'll ask you, you know? And people used to fight over stuff like that, you know? And I remember I had a fight with some dude on the parking lot. And then the next day, I go to the meeting, and I'm talking all this neck up shit, you know what I'm saying? You know, fucking chain gang shit, you know what I'm saying? And I hear my sponsor. That's my sponsor today. He goes, you know, when I get in here, I was all gangster and I was all this. And he said, came to find out I was a jelly covered donut. And I'm like, I'm going to kill this dude outside, bro. I wasn't a nice guy. I wasn't. I kept to myself. And, you know, and today, I mean, I love is a big word, man. You know, when people tell you they love you, they're either, you know, they love you, keep coming back. It's either fuck you
or go fuck yourself.
Yeah. They're doing it, you know, with love. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, I've been in relationships, like a lot of relationships with in recovery. You know, I've had to abandon ship in a couple of them. You know, I'm still learning, man. You know, I'm still learning how to. How Max wants to be, you know what I'm saying? I don't speak eloquently. I don't come from that. You know what I'm saying? I did get a high school diploma in 1986.
Hell yeah.
An ACI correctional. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't say GED. It says Indian River Community College. Mm-hmm. Actually, I have a high school diploma.
That's cool.
So, you know, other than that, man, life is good. I don't take anything for granted.
Yeah, I appreciate you. And it's like, over the years, like, there's so many people who have left the program, who have died, and, like, you really don't know who's going to stick around, who, like, still goes to meetings, you know? Like, when we go to meetings, it's crazy because we don't really see that many people that were around when we got clean.
That's why we hug people, because we don't know if we're going to see them the next day, you know? And that's big, you know? You know, and that's the crazy part about a 12-step fellowship, man. Mm-hmm. You know, that you see people for years, you know, and then they're not there anymore.
Yeah. And you expect them to, you know, there are so many people that when I got clean, I thought like they just knew it all and they were just going to stay clean forever.
And sounded real good.
And
huh?
Sounded super.
And can read out of the literature and they were like levitating out of the meeting. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
And then you're going to their funeral, putting a white, you know, white key tag in their coffin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've had a lot of deaths during COVID. The fentanyl epidemic.
I knew a girl that her first time snorting coke died. It was laced with fentanyl. It's crazy, man.
Yeah, I've heard so many stories about people doing coke and there's fentanyl and they die. It's crazy.
I don't even know what they got to nowadays, and I don't want to know because it's not my business to know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Once you start getting curious.
Yeah, yeah. That's how that shit starts. Yeah.
You know, and I see like the, you know, I think I shared this the other day. I mean, alcohol was never really my, you know, for me, that was foreplay. It was wasting $25 when I can go get high. You know what I'm saying? And I shared about, there was this commercial where there's a 40 foot yacht and there's a beautiful woman in a bikini and the guy's walking with a bottle of wine, and it was called Sauvignon Blanc, you know? Mm-hmm. That shit sounded sexy as fuck to me for a minute, but then, you know, I'm going to poke a hole in that bottle and I'm going to use, you know? But you know what I mean? So, like, I have to be vigilant, you know what I'm saying? Because everything, when you have time, everything starts sounding very good, you know? And that's why I stay close to the program.
Absolutely.
You know? So, like, I don't know, man. I just... I don't know. I'm not really that.
It's all good. I want to appreciate you coming on the show. I love you very much.
Thank you for having me, man.
I'm excited to see you celebrate.
Yep.
So,
you too.
In a couple months, I'll have 16.
We'll be there.
You have 23.
I might actually come to your party if you have one again.
Yeah, I'll have one again.
I'll come out.
Yeah, I have a party every year, you know. I do. It's cool because there's a lot of people who are, dude, there's this, he was on the podcast, but he was like, man, I haven't been to a party in 25 years, you know? And years later, he still talks about it. So it's like, you know, to me, it's so people can see that we have fun in recovery. You can have fun without drinking. It's cool to see all these people. And sometimes it's like, if I didn't have that party, I might have never seen those people all year. That's because right. People are busy and there's stuff to do, so life. It's cool to see everybody, you know? Yeah, and people, then people get the check-in.
People get lives, man.
Yeah.
People get lives and they work mm-hmm. and they get married and they have kids and they, you know, and but they keep doing what they're doing mm-hmm. and they stay clean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as you keep that in the forefront.
Yeah, you can do anything.
I don't think you can be anything or do anything you want. Because
mm-hmm.
Addicts are very intelligent.
Yeah.
We are very intelligent people, man.
Mm-hmm.
If we are allowed ourselves to be guided,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, and if there's someone smarter than us, we'll figure out how to get them to work for us. Hey, I appreciate you. All right, thank you so much. Love you, Max.
Love you too, bro.